I wish I could see what I see right now. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, how we thank you that you've revealed to us that marriage is a gift to serve Christ and his wife. And we do that. Lord, we're amazed. We're amazed at your grace that you reveal yourself unto us. Lord, how we thank you for the wedding garment that every believer possesses, that your order is righteousness of Christ. Lord, how we thank you for the forgiveness of sins that is in you. And Lord, we pray for your blessing upon this evening. We pray for your blessing on these two dear young people that we love so much. We ask that you would give them grace to look to you only, and to serve you together all the days of their life. And we ask that this marriage would be blessed by your grace. Lord, we thank you for this time, and bless us for Christ's sake. And we thank you again. Who gives this woman in holy matrimony?
Her mother.
This is a day of great joy for Savannah and Clark. They'd like to thank each of you for taking time this afternoon to celebrate a very special day with them. Many of you were here at Holly and Doug's wedding when I told you at the very first minute of Holly's life, I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to say her mother and I. I thought, I bet that'll be hard. I love her so much already. When Janet was pregnant with Savannah, publicly, we said all the right things. We said we don't care if we have a boy or a girl. We just want to have a healthy baby. But in my heart, I was strongly rooting for a girl. I saw one daughter was so wonderful. I thought the more the merrier. And I was so happy to see our new baby was a girl, our Savannah Grace. And then in the very first minute of Savannah's life, I thought, oh no, what were you wishing for? I'm going to have to say her mother and I twice. I thought to myself, I know that's going to be hard now, because I know how much I love them. But Clark, I know now what I never could have known then, is that it's not hard to say her mother and I, because Savannah has found a good and a kind and a generous man to be her husband. And I'm overjoyed to say her mother and I. You know how much we love you. We're so happy that you both have found someone to spend the rest of your life with. And you know we welcome you into our family with wide open arms. You know, it is without question the Lord that's brought the two of you together. And there are times you can look back over your life and see the Lord's providence in something. I have a very distinct memory of Janet and Donna being pregnant, standing together at a Bible conference talking, pregnant with the two of you. Little Holly and little Michelle are playing around their legs, and they're talking. A few months later, Delphus and Donna brought the new baby back to Ashland, back home to church, and Janet went to the nursery to see the new baby. She came out and told me, "Oh, Frank, he's a beautiful baby. He's just head full of dark hair. Just he's beautiful." A lot like she talks about you now. But only the Lord knew then. She was looking at her son-in-law. Only the Lord knew that. But she was. And it's the Lord who brought you two together here today. So that makes this a very important moment. Marriage is of the utmost importance. The vows that you will take in a few moments are vows before Almighty God and these witnesses. Marriage was first ordained by God Himself. God ordained marriage in the Garden of Eden before the fall of man. God made a woman. He brought her to the man. He said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him." This is ordained of God. And marriage was recognized and blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ when he attended an event much like this, the marriage of Cana of Galilee. And it was at that wedding feast that he saw fit to perform his first miracle, turning the water into wine. The Savior put his seal of approval on marriage by taking part in that celebration. And then marriage is very important because of the relationship that you now enter is a relationship that's a picture of Christ and his bride. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 32, the passage Brother Nybert just read. This is a great mystery. But Paul said, "I speak concerning Christ and the church." So in light of this importance, I want you to listen to the instruction that Almighty God gives us from his word concerning marriage. Go back and read these verses often. These verses contain everything you need to know about marriage, to have a happy and a loving marriage. And it lets your marriage begin with the preaching of the gospel. These verses preach the gospel. Ephesians 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Savannah, you are to be in subjection to Clark as your head, as the head of your home, just as the church is subject to Christ our Savior. And your first priority is to Clark. I know that you'll still be a good daughter, a good sister, and a good friend. I know you will. But your first responsibility in all things is to Clark. You're to seek to please him. Seek ways that you can be a help to him. Seek ways to encourage him. Seek ways to make his life better. Find ways every day to make him feel loved and appreciated. You make sure he feels appreciated. The word help me means to aid and to tenderly and lovingly comfort. That's what you're to do for him. And you don't need me to give you a lot of specific instruction on how to act as a wife. You've grown up at the feet of the Master. You've seen how this is supposed to look. And if you'll remember that in every interaction with Clark, you're a picture of the church that is in subjection to our Savior, who's in love with the Savior. You'll know how to act. But let me give you one that I think is a piece of good advice. Men do a lot of dumb things. I mean, we just can't help ourselves. It's what your grandpa would say, easy pickings. We make ourselves easy pickings for women to make fun of and you know, with good reason. And I'm sure Clark will do those things. He is a man. But don't you ever get in a group of women and join in a session of husband bashing. Don't you ever take an opportunity to publicly tear Clark's reputation down. No, you guard his reputation. You guard his name. You uphold him. You seek to protect his reputation by not telling some insignificant thing that he did. Just as the church is to zealously protect the honor and glory of our Savior by preaching him in the most glorious way we know how. And Clark, you have a much more important, weighty task. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Now, Clark, your first responsibility in all things now is to Savannah. And I expect you to still be a good son, a good brother, a good friend. I know you will. But your first responsibility in all things is to Savannah. You're to seek to please her. Seek her happiness. Seek ways to make her feel loved and appreciated. Find every opportunity to make her feel appreciated. You're to do your best to love Savannah as Christ loved the church. Now that's a tall order. How did Christ love his people? Self-sacrificially. He humbled himself. How he humbled himself to become a man so that he could be joined to his bride. He sacrificed himself for the sin of his people, so he put their sin away. Make her perfect without spot or wrinkle. And you're to sacrifice some self-interest for the good of your wife, for the good of your family. And I can tell you, no man's sufficient for these things. No man can do anything like our Savior did it. Everything he did was perfect because he's perfect. But if you do your very best to love Savannah as Christ loved the church, Clark, she will follow you anywhere. Your job is to lead your new home. You lead in such a way that she wants to be the best wife she could ever be for you. And the responsibility for a happy, loving home falls upon your shoulders. Remember, you're the picture of the Savior in this marriage. Who has the most responsibility in the relationship between Christ and his people? It's the Savior. So if you do your best to love Savannah like Christ loved the church, you'll make it easy for her to be in subjection to you. And it's you who will set the tone for a happy home. If you keep these verses in mind, you won't need me to give you a lot of specific examples how you should act in different situations that you'll come across, but let me give you one that I believe would be helpful. If you find that Savannah can't cook something very well, say she can't cook a roast very well, don't you ridicule her for it. Buddy, you eat it with a smile on your face, and you tell her, thank you for cooking that for me. Isn't this how our Savior deals with his people? He never ridicules his people. What does he do with our shortcomings? We've sinned to come short of the glory of God. He covers our sin in his blood, blots it out with his blood. He covers our insufficiency with his perfect righteousness. And that's what you're to do. You do the same thing. And after you thank her for cooking that, next time you're with Janet, you secretly tell her. So, and Janet will give her a cooking lesson. Nobody will know. Nobody will be the wiser. And you'll eat good. I think you know by now Janet wants the best for you. So you use her if you need her. We'll help you. Now with that instruction from our God, I want you to carefully consider the questions that I now ask you. You've joined right hands. Now take heed to these questions. Clark, would you have Savannah, who you now hold by the right hand, to be your lawful wedded wife? Do you promise in the sight of Almighty God and these witnesses to be to her a true and a devoted husband, that you will love, honor, and protect her in joy or sorrow, in prosperity or adversity. In leaving all others, will you cleave to her and her alone as long as you both shall live? Savannah, would you have Clark, who you now hold by the right hand, to be your lawful wedded husband? And do you promise in the sight of Almighty God and these witnesses to be to him a true and a devoted wife, that you will love, honor, and obey him in joy or sorrow, in prosperity or adversity? In leaving all others, will you cleave to him and him alone as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Clark, would you please repeat these vows? I, Clark, take thee, Savannah, to be my wedded wife.
Clark, take thee, Savannah.
To have and to hold from this day forward. For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness or in health.
Sickness and health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death.
Savannah, will you likewise repeat these vows? I, Savannah, take thee, Clark, to be my wedded husband.
I, Savannah, take thee, Clark, to be my wedded husband.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
The rings, please. Now, rings historically have been used for many important occasions, and to me, the ring reaches its loftiest prestige as a symbol of your love for each other. That's what this ring, this circle, is a picture of. It's a symbol of your unending love for each other. And I pray that these rings will always be worn as a token of the permanence and purity of your love for each other. Do you give this ring to Savannah as a token of your love for her? Savannah, will you receive and wear this ring as a token of Clark's love for you?
You will.
Clark, please repeat these vows. With this ring, I thee wed.
With this ring, I thee wed.
And I pledge to thee my love and faithfulness.
I pledge to thee.
Savannah, do you give this ring to Clark as a token of your love for him?
I do.
Clark, will you receive and wear this ring as a token of Savannah's love for you?
I will.
Savannah, please repeat these vows. With this ring, I thee wed.
With this ring, I thee wed.
And I pledge to thee my love and faithfulness.
And I pledge to thee my love and faithfulness.
Please join hands. For as much as you have taken these vows upon yourselves in the presence of God and these assembled witnesses, upon the authority vested in me by the laws of the state of Kentucky, I pronounce you husband and wife. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful for this blessed picture, a picture of the union between Christ and his bride. How we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to redeem his people, the people that he loved from all of eternity. Father, I pray that you would bless Clark and Savannah richly. Bless this new home. Bless them with grace and mercy. Bless them with wisdom and compassion for one another, that their home would be a shining example of love and that they would follow the Savior together all the days of their lives. Father, bless them richly in all things. Father, we thank you for this happy day. And in the dark and difficult days that are sure to come, that Clark and Savannah will go through together, Father, cause them to go through it together, looking to thee. Strengthen and be with them all the days of their life, we pray. It's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the glory of his name, we pray and give thanks. Amen. Clark, you may kiss your bride. Ladies and gentlemen, It is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you for the very first time, Mr. and Mrs. Clark Grubb.